Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the AEW Dynamite Wrestling Inc. after show, and have we got a show for you. We've got Moxley killing everybody, we've got Jericho becoming the Ring of Honor champion, and we've got Kyle Fletcher shaving his golden locks. Before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Jimmy Corderas and special guest this evening, Flobo Boyce. Flobo, how did you get the designation special guest?
Everyone else turned it down. Woo!
That's how most of us get our job in this industry.
Flobo.
Already got some folks here in the chat. Good to see y'all. Jimmy Corderas, how have you been?
I'm good. I'm stealing George Ramos's gimmick for the night. And
is that Hardcore Holly?
Yeah, that's the Hardcore Truth, his book. Yeah.
Thurman's Barky Plug. Yeehaw.
Yeah.
Do they have a Lumberjack Truth? That's what I'm more interested in.
Oh, hot take.
Oh, very interesting. No, but he talks about an interesting subject that came up this week on the Piers Morgan show when he talks about steroids and stuff like that. But yeah.
Oh yeah. I didn't get to see that one. I was interested in how that went off the talking heads. I was interested to see how they all interacted. Was it a good show? Mm-hmm. Did you see that one? The Piers Morgan?
It was a cluster for them. Basically, you know, everybody talking over each other. And of course, Vince Russo bro-ing him Phil Muchnick 17 times, I think, in a row. So
that's actually why I didn't tune in, as I thought it felt like a bunch of people that all were going to try to get their stuff in at the expense of everybody else.
Well, I got to give Coach credit though. Like a good announcer, like a good play-by-play guy knows when to lay out, unlike some people tonight. I'm going to get to that later.
All right. Well, we will talk about that. That's a good tie into the show. Lots of folks here coming through. Appreciate all you guys here in the chat. Make sure to let us know what you thought of the show as we go through it. I'd love to get some of your chats up on the screen and maybe conversate with a few of you as we go through all this. We did get a question, by the way, AJ asking, where's Glenn? Glenn covers SmackDown every Friday. So that is where Glenn is available. You can see him every single week there.
He's back this weekend too. He's back this week, not weekend. He's back this week.
Back this week. So yeah. Oh yeah, that's right, Flobo, because you work Fridays as well. Glenn was on vacation.
Yeah, the last three Fridays was myself and Emily May in the booth, but Glenn should be back this Friday.
Man, Glenn, taking time off.
I know.
Here's the thing he is.
What's he thinking, man?
I know.
the people at Wrestling Inc. Tower can't have us taking time off.
When he goes, I have to run the show. It hurts me, man. It hurts me.
Well, speaking of people going, Samantha Irvin has parted ways with the WWE, and that led to all sorts of speculation, of course, about AEW potentially being a landing spot. But Ricochet went to Twitter to say, quote, haha, she's not coming to AEW. You can all rest easy, with a laughing face emoji. Now, Flobo, Jimmy and I talked about Samantha Irvin leaving on Monday quite a bit. But I'd love to know your thoughts. I think we all agree AEW doesn't seem like at least the immediate landing spot. I think in this kind of situation where someone leaves so abruptly, usually something else is in the works.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if the music career is going to be a thing, but she obviously has the pipes and she obviously has a online presence for many different reasons. So she has a lot of options. And while we would like to have the wrestling transfer, I think that nowadays there's no such thing as that. Now it's everything. You got to do everything you can, follow any gimmick, go where you're booked. So I won't be surprised if Irvin's going to be featuring a lot of things in the future.
Yeah, Jimmy, we don't need to rehash everything we discussed on Monday, but this seems to kind of double up on what we had talked about. Not likely AEW. Now, again, I said it before. If I was Tony Khan, I'd back up the Brinks truck. I'd be like, what's the number to get you in? Because I think she's one of those announcers that does change the tone of a show.
Whoa, really? Why?
Why what? Why does she change the tone of the show?
I'm not discounting Ms. Irvin. I think she's one of the best to do it. I'm not her. It's not even her. It's the role. It is a ring announcer role. Bad ring announcers are terrible, but there are a lot of good ring announcers, even great ring announcers, at a fraction of what Samantha Irvin would charge if she were able to go to AEW. Why do it?
Well, that's my point. Jimmy, you can back me up on this, or you can say your point. I think there are certain announcers. My favorites of all time are the Buffer Brothers. I like them both. A let's get ready to rumble guy. I think you have one of them introduce a fighter, introduce a match. It feels different. It's that a big fight feel. People present that. Certain people have voices. I've always said I think that Hamilton has the best voice, but he didn't have that big fight feel. You know what I mean? But he said when he did Shane McMahon's best in the world, it was good. It didn't have that. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jimmy?
I get exactly what you're saying. It's not like Howard Finkel. Howard Finkel had one of the most recognizable voices in all of professional wrestling. He was someone that everybody knew right away. That's the Fink.
Right. And,
I hate to put him over. I got to put Tony Chimmel over, even though
that was my hero growing up.
You know how that stuff started. It started at the house shows where he went, the rated R superstar. He did it as a rib at the house shows. And John Cena told him, Edge told him, you're doing it on TV. And he said, no, I'll get in a lot of trouble for that. He says, no, you're doing it on TV. I don't care. Yeah. And it stuck. Vince liked it.
Chimmel was my guy. I don't like how he was bored when Jack Swagger came out. He was like, the all-American. Pop me every Friday.
But see, those are the things that make the ring announcer so valuable. Just like a lot. Chelsea Green has done so much for herself. But there is something to that. Chelsea Green, that stuff matters, I think, when people do it. But again, I think certain people add a gravitas to certain situations. And, they got a pro in AEW with Justin Roberts, so no hard feelings to him. But again, Samantha Irvin, if she's a free agent, is she's one of the best. I mean, it's hard to argue. Just like if Michael Buffer said, I'm stepping back into the ring, I'd be like, I was any of the companies, I'd say, well, we got to look at what this may cost us because it might be worth it. And UFC would be different. I think UFC would not, some of these fights would not hit the same if they had someone else in there. So do I think anyone buys a ticket to see the ring announcer? No, but it does make the presentation and the product as a whole feel better. And I think she's someone that definitely does that. So we continue on though, talking about people coming back and showing up. Adam Cole, baby, is back. We'll talk about him in just a little bit, but he revealed just what it took to get back into the ring. Cole stated, so not only did I have to get double the amount of screws in my ankle, but also I had to get someone else's bone put into my ankle because the bone piece within my ankle just completely disintegrated.
Wow.
Cole confirmed that the bone came from a cadaver and thanked the deceased as well as their family for the donation. Because of it, Cole was able to avoid having a metal plate inserted into his ankle, which could have vastly reduced his mobility. Jimmy, I knew he hurt his ankle, but I didn't realize how bad it was.
Yeah, I guess that's the reason why it took so long for him to recover, because usually something like that, I don't want to say, like, I don't know what the degree of the injury exactly was, but someone who has ankle surgery and has plates or pins put in there, it is a long recovery, but his felt like it was taking a lot longer. Now we know the reason why. And I wasn't aware. Look, I know they've probably been doing it for a long time, but not being in the medical field, I didn't actually realize that when they do mend bones and they do surgeries, that they actually use cadaver, bones from cadavers to actually perform these surgeries to, you know, I guess replace certain joints and certain parts. So that took me by surprise when I read that. I went, wow, that's certainly something I haven't heard before anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think because, Flobo, that the injury, from at least what we saw, it didn't look like it was that menacing when it happened. I believe he just like jumped off the ramp and it just landed wrong. Which, by the way, everyone over a certain age, that's every person's fear of jumping off of something.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's never anything like, oh, I was fighting a pack of ninjas and something happened. It's like, I woke up wrong. I looked at something. And then you know, your doctor's like, what happened? And so you're absolutely right. It didn't look like it was a bad idea, but a bad injury. But those are the ones that get you. And I'm just glad that Cole's on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will say, once you reach a certain age, I don't know how old everyone in the chat is, but once you reach a certain age, hopping off of something becomes a game of chance.
I wouldn't even hop off the bottom rope right now. At my age.
Anymore. It's a Cordero splash. Oh. Yeah.
I tell you, every time when I ring announcer, when I do anything in a wrestling ring, just hopping off the ring, you have that saying like, okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. This could be it. So good to hear Adam Cole is back, and good to hear that they had the bone. You know, being a donor is one of those things. I always check yes to it whenever they ask for my ID, you know, you get your ID renewed or whatever. But I always have that like, but what if I'm reincarnated or something? That is like ridiculous.
Wow.
Not in my brain.
Wait. You'll be reincarnated without it, or like you'll be reincarnated inside the new body?
Or that's like even creepier. Sorry, not what if I come back into my body? Or what if
and it's missing?
Like, what if, I don't know what the afterlife is. What if I show up in heaven and suddenly my ankle bone is gone? Like, sorry, someone used it. I don't know.
Would you go on a hunt for whoever has it? I mean, like, okay, let me figure this out. I want my bone back.
That's the best action movie ever.
I'd go hunt. My ghost would hunt Adam Cole down and be like, where's my ankle?
Oh, you know what you just did, Jack? You just gave someone an idea for the next movie.
Like, Ogun donor cards? No, don't do that.
I thought Miz already had a match about fighting zombies at one point.
That was a wrestling classic.
Droid J says stepping off the curve without seeing it. Yeah. Tony Hayes says you're spot on, Jack.
He's never spot on. Stop saying
that.
Not as bad as walking into glass, though. Anyway.
Oof, no. Yeah.
We got a few other health updates, by the way. Anthony Henry will reportedly be out of action for around 7 to 8 months after tearing his bicep, which just sounds terribly painful. And former AEW world champion Kenny Omega is reportedly 2 to 3 months away from returning, which Flobo is still a while, but actually doesn't seem that long considering when I heard he was out, we were saying he might not ever come back. It could be years.
Right.
To know that he might be back in 3 months. That seems right around the corner in the grand scheme of things.
Fantastic. Shout out to Tony Hayes, who's a swarthy Filipino. But if I were Kenny Omega or in charge of his character, promos now. Have everything going now. Let me know what version of Kenny Omega I can look forward to. When he comes back, it's going to be, as the kids say, or grandpa say, like gangbusters, man. It's going to be great.
Jimmy, do you think now... No, Kenny Omega, clearly one of their biggest stars in AEW, a real face of AEW. Do you think that he should start doing promos now, or do you think now it might either risk becoming a Veer is coming or risk doing these promos and then there's a setback and now you can't do the return? Is it too early, or should they start planting these seeds today?
I do think they need to plant seeds, but maybe it is a little too early. You don't want to jump the gun too much. You never know how long it's going to take. He said 2 or 3 months, and glad that he's getting better. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's on the mend. He's going to be back, and that's great, because it'll be a nice shot in the arm for AEW, that's for sure, because they've got a ready-made program going. So maybe you don't have to do it as overtly, like have him do vignettes where he's getting some treatment or getting back in shape, ring shape, and that sort of thing. Or maybe you can have him in the gym, show him shots in the gym. I'm getting ready. I'm going to be ready, and you know who I'm coming for first? guess who's on my list or something along those lines. But you can, I wouldn't start it just yet though. Give it a little breather because they got a lot of good stuff with the mock situation and all the BCC stuff. So you don't, when he does come back, that may take precedence over everything else.
Carlos says in the chat, like they did for Triple H in 2001. And that brings me to, apparently we missed a super chat last week. Danny Cochran says, major problem. I was robbed last week. I paid for a super chat and no karaoke. What's up with that? Well, Danny Cochran, we're going to make that right for you right now. It's a beautiful day was the theme song from those Triple H promos. And Flobo Boyce has agreed to sing.
I did not agree.
YouTube's hit classic. It's a beautiful day.
Whoa, super chat money.
Cannot say no. Flobo Boyce.
You do realize we get paid $0 of that super chat money. So cards subject to change. Pow. It's happening.
A beautiful day. Come on. No. Imagine the game jumping around the flashing lights in the rain. The back light so you can't really see around it. And he's like getting ready. And then there's the clips of him like doing his moves. Oh, it was so good.
Last host standing, you win.
I still have that song in my workout playlist. Every time it comes on, I'm like, Triple H, baby.
Oh my goodness. Danny Cochran, what have you done?
Well, Dan, you got to see him a little bit of it, Flo. But that or you got to.
It was a super chat.
I don't get that money. Okay. You pay me directly.
How about this?
Come on.
Do your favorite entrance theme song. Just sing along something.
No, I'm not doing this.
Okay, fine.
We are journalists. We are serious.
We are absolutely not journalists.
We are war correspondents. Michael Cole.
Fine, do the D'Lo Brown thing.
Can you stop with this?
Bring it on. What you gonna do?
We got 25 matches and 10 of them are squashes. Can we get to the show?
25 minutes, Flobo.
No. Danny Cochran, no, this is worth more than a super chat that we get so much time on this.
Yeah, he's getting a deal.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm not doing it.
Wow.
That's Dead Air Wrestling, Inc. So it's all Jack Farmer's fault.
Oh wow!
Dang it, Jack! I could do this all day.
How many bottles of water you got, Jack?
I got a bunch of them, and I even got something to use the bathroom in. I'm here all.
Come to bed, no woman. I gotta do this, Jack.
That's a little too much information.
Well, not enough.
Well, Flobo's a big party pooper, so we're going to move on to something that'll lighten the mood. AEW reportedly re-signed several referees amidst recent criticism.
Oh, wait, he bought merch. Danny bought, that's different. He bought merch. CEO. Woo! There you go. He bought merch. He gets that. That's way different.
Well, you gotta sing the song. I mean, the CEO is cool, but you gotta sing the song.
That's it. That's the whole song of CEO.
What more is there to it?
Oh, you gotta sing "Beautiful Day."
Oh, I don't even know the lyrics of that one. It's a beautiful day.
It's just
that's it. So I got.
Don't let it get away.
Oh my goodness.
I can do Vertigo.
Excuse me,
Vertigo. You can do Vertigo, but shit.
That video was sick, bro. Hello. Hola, in the place, girl.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was like. Uno, dos, tres,
catorce.
You two was a bunch of nutcases, I tell you.
Never invite me back to the show.
AEW, Jimmy, we got to get this show back on the road. AEW is re-signing some referees. This is kind of a weird story because according to Fightful Select, a number of AEW referees were given new one-year deals earlier this year to the point that a number of officials may actually be halfway through these deals. No specific names were given to Fightful, nor specific numbers. Some referees' deals with the company had come to an end by the time they were renewed, but Fightful claims longer deals are being planned for them in the future. Given the timing, these longer deals will likely come into play in 2025. Jimmy, how long is a referee contract in your experience typically?
When I was there, I had a contract for as long as they wanted me. That was it. It wasn't specific time. It wasn't like for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years, whatever it was. Here's your contract. As long as you're here, here's how much you're going to make annually. Here's how much you're possibly going to make on pay-per-views and that sort of things. We did get bonuses for certain things, and that was kind of cool. But that's the way it worked back then. I didn't know that they actually gave, you know, 1 year deals, 2 year deals with guaranteed contracts like that. That's something new for me.
Well, we don't know if they're guaranteed. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything. In fact, I think it's sorry to our reporting team, but yeah. I mean, half these contracts are almost over. I feel like we missed this story, to be honest with you.
I don't send me down that referee rabbit hole right now. You know,
well, let me ask you this, and Flobo, I'll get your thoughts, but Jimmy happens to actually be a future Hall of Fame referee.
Keep rubbing it in, Jack.
Right in his wheelhouse. With a contract, and just contracts in general, something that seems weird to me, and again, I don't know about how these contracts typically are for referees. They're talking about how some of these referees got to their deal being expired and then renewed for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And that feels to me a little bit like we forgot to deal with this, sign for a short period of time, and then we'll deal with it later, kind of kicking the can down the road instead of actually saying these are the people we want long term. Am I misreading that, or what do you think?
No, there could be some substance to that. Obviously, if you have a plan for a referee and you say this person's someone we could have in our company for a long, long time, you would want to take care of that as soon as possible. Because if someone else is interested, I'm not saying somebody else is, but if they were, you want a good referee in your company because they're just, I want to say, is just as important as a talent, because like a ring announcer, they don't draw money. They don't sell tickets.
Mm-hmm. Red Shoes does.
Well, that's different.
Jimmy Corderas did.
Jimmy Corderas did.
Nah, the only person that came to see me was my family, and they got comps. So,
Listen, if they bought a drink at the venue, then it counts.
Support the house, brother.
Kayfabe, I snuck them stuff from catering. But
So they cost the company money.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a money pitch.
Oh, my gosh. Big draw, Jimmy Corderas.
But yeah, Flobo, I mean, am I reading this wrong? Like I said, I feel like if this was... This reminds me of like if it was a football team and there was a guy whose contract didn't come up and they didn't know what to do with him and they signed him for 1 year, you'd go, okay, they clearly aren't committed, but they also didn't have a backup plan.
It does feel like, and I know it's kind of a slow news item, but you're right. Usually long-term lock them up contracts kind of say, hey, look, this is the ship we're going to have. AEW, we'll get to the show and pacing tonight, feels like they're right before a refresh. And so I think that's super important. Look at the talent contract they have, or the ones we know and recognize, like we have our ring announcers or whatnot, but not too long to lock them in a situation in case you want to bring in new talent or fresh talent.
Yeah. And like I said, the reason I asked Jimmy about the contract situation, because maybe this is how they all are. I don't know. Maybe every referee at AEW has always been on 1 year contracts, and this is just standard business. I'm just imagining if the typical is like a 3 year, which feels like that's in wrestling, most contracts like 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. then why didn't you just give them the 3 year contract? You know,
right?
But I don't know. Again, I don't know. I'm recklessly speculating here. It really is my forte.
Plus, my understanding is some of the referees, at least in AEW, are doing other duties as well behind the scenes. So,
yeah, you just don't only just ref.
So let's talk about all these amazing people here in the chat with us today. We got Rick Platt, Daniel Berry, Danny Cochran, Carlos Barrera, Stalking You, Danny Brown, Huffman Elite Training. We got Adonde Estas, Tony Hayes, The TLD. What does TLD stand for? You got to let me know, TLD. We got Josie Lurkin, Maria. We got Goodfellow. We got Beer Money AJ and Veggie Gamer. Veggie Gamer, where have you been? I haven't seen you in months. You're in trouble. Demerit.
Wow. No wonder people lurk. No one demerits. I'm sorry.
It's not as bad as a citation.
Fair enough.
So everyone join us. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who leaves us a 5-star review, a like, comment, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. TLD says my government name. Well, that doesn't sound like TLD at all.
Imagine if it was.
That's MGN. So well,
change it to LTD. At least it sounds like a good soul group from the.
Oh wow, that's a deep cut, Jimmy Corderas. Yeah. That is a deep cut. Well played. We all know a great worker when we see one, and that's what the guys at 5-9 Whiskey are. Like a performer who leaves it all in the ring, the crew at Troll Co. have made a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. You see, two oil field guys figured, why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? And who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey? 5-9 is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They put in the work. The name 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., not the 9 to 5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat, tears, and more. Real life road warriors. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into the whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. Cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's FiveNineWhiskey.com. And use promo code WRESTLING20, that's 20, for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication. And it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
We got a great show we got to talk about today. It's AEW Dynamite, and we're going to start with the bookends, the beginning and the end of the show. We start with a video and promo teasing someone losing something tonight as the locker room is waiting for Mox to arrive. Later, Chuck Taylor tells Orange Cassidy that someone needs to stop Moxley, and it may have to be Orange Cassidy. After the main event, Moxley and Cruz sneak into the ring, dragging Chuck Taylor with them, and the chair stomp him in the face before Orange Cassidy arrives a moment too late. Once again, the Young Bucks sit this one out. Jimmy, I'm going to start with you on this one. The pros I take away from this one are I love the recap videos. We've talked about how they need recap videos for a long time. I love these intros. I love the tease of someone's getting hurt tonight. I love that they made that actually happen. I enjoyed this one. I had some thoughts, but I'll let you get your thoughts in first.
No, I enjoyed the beginning. I like the way it started out in the desert and that video package showing what happened recently and what they've been doing and who they've been taking out. And that line, like they said, someone will have to be sacrificed or destroyed tonight. And I love the way Moxley is handling himself and talking in this one. He sounds menacing. He sounds like he means business. And you want that aura of believability, and he's got that right now. And them taking off in the truck and heading allegedly towards the venue. So that sounds good. I like the fact that a lot of people were there standing their ground, looking for a fight, looking to defend the honor of AEW. But the one thing I didn't like was during the main event match, which we'll talk about later, they showed a big clip of them all standing outside waiting for the truck to arrive. Now you just stooged off that they're going to arrive some other way, in my opinion. I didn't like that. Just don't even bother with that and let them show up and do their damage. You know, and that's my opinion. I thought as soon as I saw that, I said, oh, don't, you just gave it away. You know, and I guess people, you know, obviously probably suspected something was going to happen, but showing them on the outside showed, you know, told me that, okay, they're going to arrive at inside the ring and take someone out in another form or fashion.
I mean, I thought they could have NWO'd their way through everyone, like when they lawn darted Rey Mysterio. but my two takeaways, a pro and a con. One thing I wish they did better about, because I say everything's positive, I got to nitpick a little bit. Kind of wish as they were leaving the opening segment, I wish commentary took it a little bit more seriously. It you have this scary intro, you have this very heavy, someone's getting injured, and they kind of come back from that and say, wow, interesting words. Anyways, big night action tonight, guys. Instead of being like, this is a serious thing that just happened. I'd love them to be a little more somber. Like, yeah, things aren't good right now. This is bad. I'd like them to sort of react that instead of just going to the, it's a big night action, folks. Lots of stuff going on. But I did like that at the end, this was a good thing, Flobo, that I feel like AEW misses sometimes. I feel like they nailed it this time. On the very somber and serious face of Orange Cassidy, kind of weighing all the stuff that's happened and his friend being injured, and maybe he does have to be the one to step up. I like that they ended on that instead of on some other nonsense.
Yeah. This one, first of all, I can't believe I'm ever going to say this in real life, but shout out to Utah, right? Because you have actually had salt flats to have a pro, but I would never have said that otherwise. So good on you, Utah. I'm having the desert. I mean this with all due respect. I actually like this, but it reminded me of 1999 WWE. Straight up, like the night of mystery tonight on SmackDown, someone's gonna get their ass kicked, but who? Find out, you know. And I like that it could have been anybody, and it kind of ended up being kind of an easy target in Chuck Taylor. They told him he was already off the grid, so that's not, to me, it's as impactful as taking off somebody on the main roster. But still, John Moxley and the, I guess they're calling it the Paradigm, or the New Paradigm, or whatever the group is, or whatever the mission is, has been more menacing. But you're right. You'll notice many times in this episode, they do kind of switch around. There was one time when Savani goes like, oh yeah, that happens, and John Moxley's going crazy. It's AEW. And you're like, what? What's going on here? So I'm with you 100% on that. But I love something that's a little bit fresh. If you're in a mystery that makes sense and it's simple compared to, let's say, like the Devil from like last year, this one is a lot more easy to hop onto and a lot more compelling.
Carlos Pereira in the chat asks, what's the payoff to this storyline? Am I supposed to believe Orange is going to be the one to be Sting and save AEW? First off, I'm always very hesitant to, like, I see a lot of stuff online sometimes where as soon as something's starting, everyone's like, but how's it going to end? I don't get it. And I'm like, well, let the journey. And tell the story. Like, you know, make friends along the way. That's the story we learn. That said, I think, Jimmy, I think they are trying to, maybe this is finally that transition of a character from Orange Cassidy, from, maybe this is where he stops saying, I don't care and I'm lazy. Maybe this is his transition of like, look, I can't be that guy anymore if I'm going to be the kind of wrestler I want to be.
That's exactly the thing I was thinking. This was the time for him to actually morph into something different than what he's been doing for the last 5 years on television. Because basically what's he been doing on television for the last 5 years? It's the same character, hands in the pockets, soft kicks, doing that deal. And I know a lot of people were into it, but it was more of a comedy thing. If you're looking to make him a main eventer, he has to get serious and he has to show that side. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing that metamorphosis into that sort of thing. And we'll see where it goes, because he is over with the audience, but is he going to be that guy that can be as over to put him in that main spot to really challenge Moxley? That's the question right now.
Yeah, Flobo, I see you shaking your head and nodding your head. So I don't really know how you're planning on responding, because you're doing both.
Orange Cassidy is us, man. I don't want to vote in this election. Fine, I'll do it. All right, Tony, I get your agenda. No, I'm kidding. I like the idea that there is a person to save them. To me, though, I don't like fantasy booking. I'm kind of hoping they keep this John Moxley faction separate from the Young Bucks and the Executive VP. I would hate to do the corporate ministry so early, but I like the fact there are people who are typically neutral, and there's only really more neutral than Orange Cassidy, having to weigh on the fact of whether I should get involved or not.
I so with the orange, real I guess for the Orange Cassidy point, I was a big fan of Orange Cassidy. I still am a fan of Orange Cassidy. I like the character he has, but at the same time, it's been 5 years. And after 5 years, you need to start adjusting. You need to start growing. You need to start changing. Everyone has to do that at some time. John Cena wasn't a rapper his whole career.
But after that was 15 years of, I'm going to try really hard, guys.
He wore a bunch of different colored shirts, Flobo.
Oh, you're right. I rescind my question.
But at the same time, in that case, he was a serious superhero. So that's if at some point, you know, you need that update, I think. As far as the Young Bucks group goes, we'll talk about them in a little bit. But I hope what I would love to see is I would love with all these different factions, I would love Moxley's group to start good guy, bad guy, whoever, start wiping them all out and make it clear that nobody's safe. And so I'd like to see them wipe out the Elite and then wipe out the Learning Tree and then wipe out the Callous, like whatever group you're in, but wipe out the conglomerate. Like, no one is safe. It doesn't matter what side of the locker room you sit on. Nobody's safe from this group. And I'd like to really have that. It is everybody against Moxley and create that kind of vibe instead of a.
If you want to borrow a little something from WWE, I'm not saying do exactly what they do, but you can borrow a little bit from the Wyatt Six kind of thing, where maybe you get a shot backstage where they're leaving the EVP's locker room and the camera moves in and you look inside and they're all wiped out.
They're all everybody's dead. Left.
Well, not quite dead.
In Utah,
they're all Chad Gable.
I'm fine, guys. Yeah.
Speaking of people who should be accused and tried for murder, Adam Page comes out to start talking about.
He's not wrong.
Now that was a segue, baby. Wow. starts talking about how what he's done to the Bang Bang Gang before Colton Gunn shows up out of nowhere. Page beats up Colton for his efforts, but Juice Robinson and Jay White are on the scene to chase off the Hangman. White says that Page can use all the fire and blood he wants to cover things up, but when the bell rings, no one is better than Switchblade. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this whole thing. I love Jay White's promos. I think that he has huge breakout potential in AEW. I'm a big fan of Adam Page as well. My heart is torn in this rivalry. I want your thoughts on this. Also, this is another gripe I have. If the interviewer isn't going to hold the microphone, there's no point in having an interviewer go into the ring in the first place. Jimmy, am I wrong in that?
Check his jobs.
I don't know. It didn't seem like an interview. It felt more like an introduction by Tony Schiavone. That's how it felt. I agree with you on that. Now that you brought it up,
Justin Roberts can do that. That's his job.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know. That's just my little pet peeve. I'm like,
why have
him there if he's not going to do it?
I'd love to check Tony Schiavone's Fitbit right now. All walking back and forth from the ring to the announce position all night long. How many times did he do that?
Good point.
That's actually his thing. He's like
12,642 steps for Tony Schiavone today.
Listen, Tony, I'll work here as long as you want, but I got to get my steps in.
What a way. That's awesome.
Any thoughts, though, Jimmy, on this one?
No, I'm enjoying Adam Cole in this incarnation. It just feels weird. Like you said, he's taking out whoever it is. It doesn't matter, babyface, heel. But for someone like, as much as I enjoy Jay White and Juice Robinson as well, they need to pick a lane and stay in it. One, you know, it almost feels like they flip-flop back and forth between, you know, being more heelish and being more babyface. Pick one and stick with it as instead of going back and forth, because now you're confusing the audience.
Mm-hmm. I do think they're those bad guys that we're going to cheer. So it's hard to.
So make them baby faces. There.
No, well, if you're going to be a bad guy,
You're not going to boo Juice Robinson. I'm sorry. He's too
too hard. Yeah. Too hard. No, I'm actually with Jimmy here. This reminds me of the Bang Bang Gang, our Bullet Club Global Bang Bang Gang. They remind me of DX, but like of the 2006 version, the Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Vince Love's version, where it's like you're trying to be cool, but you're not, but you're good guys, but you're not. You got to either do something really evil so we cheer you for being a badass, or just go full on babyface and, you know, wave to the crowd and stuff.
I think the problem with both Adam Page and Jay White in this situation is they're both kind of in that same territory, which makes it confusing. Where if Jay White was having this same situation against Christian, we would know. We'd go, okay, Jay White's the good guy, you know, or if Same thing with Adam Page. If he was having this entire same thing against Moxley, we'd go, okay, I know who I'm cheering for in this situation.
Hey, mustaches mean you're a bad guy.
That's true.
If you grow it out, of course.
That's true. Flobo, I have some questions for you real quick. Rapid fire.
Let's do it.
Yep. Hangman and Switchblade, which is the better prison name?
Oh, Switchblade.
Hangman and Switchblade, better Top Gun call name?
Hangman.
Hangman and Switchblade. Hangman, Hangman and Switchblade, better Street Fighter 2 character name?
Switchblade.
Switchblade wins. I mean, I think there's probably no more scientific way of doing this.
Yeah, prison and Street Fighter were definitely scientific atoms.
So we move on to Shelton Benjamin versus Sammy Guevara. We get a little video package to lead into this one. Another mostly dominant win by Shelton Benjamin, who faces Swerve Strickland next week. Jimmy, last week you felt that Lio Rush got too much offense in. Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same way about this week's matchup?
Maybe just a tad. But it goes in increments. So his first week, he should have like really, really dominated Lio Rush. And Lio, I felt, got too much offense in, and especially that match going 10, 11 minutes was too long. Even though Shelton, like he did tonight, took his time and was very methodical with what he did, his offense, every time he hit something, he stopped and let it breathe and let him sell. And for me, that worked. I like that aspect of it. But as far as him getting too much offense in, you can make that argument going off of what I said last week. But in this case, I think it helps because next week he's facing Swerve, which is another conversation way too soon. But, he has to look a little vulnerable, but at the same time, look really strong, which is what he did tonight.
Sammy does have a bit more history in AEW, too, as opposed to Lio Rush. One thing about this, again, so people know that I don't like everything. Something that bothered me is I always say commentary is supposed to be, I don't say it, Michael Cole actually said it, I'm copying him. He says commentary is always supposed to be one step behind. Feels like sometimes commentary tonight was one step ahead. Like Shelton Benjamin comes out before the match starts and they're saying, can Sammy Guevara stop Shelton Benjamin's meteoric rise? And I'm like, this is his second match. How can he have a meteoric rise after one match, like against a newly signed wrestler? Like, we know he's gonna have like we're not idiots, but like you have to pretend like you don't know that yet.
Absolutely.
And I do like the fact that he won the match with an exploder's power slam.
Yeah.
Basic power move.
Everything Shelton does looks so cool. But Flobo, what are your thoughts on Shelton's presentation so far?
Shel Basky kind of ruined my gimmick there. But yeah, Shelton's 49. So this match here proved a lot for me because you know as good as Shelton is, he can't run the ropes as he can before. So they're going straight powerhouse with them. So the last 2 weeks, we're seeing him dominate in a way we haven't seen him before. By the way, Bobby Lashley is actually younger than Shelton Benjamin. I would never have guessed it. Anyway. Point being, whatever the building is great, I like the fact we're doing this. The question there becomes, maybe I don't want to be doom and gloom, is that powerhouses do not have a long shelf life on Dynamite. They are a powerhouse of 3 months, something happens, people get bored, and they get shipped off to Fridays or Saturdays, and we never see them again. So I hope it's not the case with Shelton Benjamin.
I am a huge Shelton Benjamin fan. I said before he was one of my absolute favorites when he was going in the mid-2000s. He was my favorite during that time period. So I'm so glad we get to see him doing so well and get to see him just throwing people around like ragdolls. Ricochet, by the way, was backstage and they showed us the video of the stuff that went down at MLPW, which I thought was really cool. Nice. He still wants a fight, but MVP wants to give him a card and a compliment on his suit. Jimmy, thoughts on MLPW? And let us know any thoughts. Were you there, by the way, at MLPW?
No, I had an appearance on Sunday, so I couldn't go down.
VIP right there.
Sorry.
No, and Windsor is like for
a free weekend, not me.
No, but Windsor is 4 hours away too. It's a bit of a drive. It's like driving to Detroit, basically.
It's funny. I live in California. Everyone, like my parents, think everything is within like 30 minutes of where I'm at. I feel the same way about Canada, though. I'm like, oh yeah, it's like right down the street.
Just head over to Calgary. You're only in Toronto.
just head over to Calgary. No, it's a Utah of Canada. Right.
But very cool. The success of MLPW, by the way, I'm super thrilled about. Great stuff there. But I love that they showed what happened at the show on Dynamite to help continue that story. But also, Ricochet joining the Syndicate Hurt business, you know what it is.
No, I love the fact that MVP is passing out those business cards and looking for opportunities to acquire new talent into his agency. Is that what you would call it? I guess, but I think if Ricochet were to take him up on that, that would be an interesting pairing there, because one of the things we've always talked about with Ricochet is his mic work, or a little bit of a lack thereof. So having someone like a MVP speaking for you would be a definite plus, because he's got all the other tools.
Yeah.
That's the one thing he may be a step back on. So why not have an MVP be his mouthpiece?
Yeah. You know, Flobo, I think that I'm not someone who's always like, this person needs to join a group just because, but I do think Ricochet joining MVP would be great, because I think that I agree with Jimmy. I think the mouthpiece would be helpful, but I also get the feeling that Ricochet is someone who on the microphone with momentum will be better, if that makes sense. I think some people, like when they have momentum and they're winning and they've got something going, it's a lot easier for them to talk on a microphone. And I think he's one of those guys that if he gets that momentum and that story going, I think he's going to open up big time on the mic.
I'm with you 95% of the way. I think Ricochet was supposed to be part of the WWE Hurt business that was changed. So it's kind of like an alternate running back of see what that would look like. MVP makes everyone better. I'm not saying that Omos would not have been signed, but no one's talked about Omos ever since they had that separation on Monday Night Raw. I just have to, for my own benefit, as a fan watching the show, I need to know why MVP wants to sign Ricochet if you already have a Shelton Benjamin in your roster. If I'm supposed to see him as his powerhouse, this guy's a gold standard of excellence or whatever his name is, what is the advantage then of signing someone who really told you no and wasn't interested in this universe as well? But if you get that done on the story plan for it, I'll be fine.
What I love about MVP to that point is he's someone who, at his character, he always says about money and he's about business. So he's someone who, if he just said, if I manage you, I get a cut of the winnings, I get it. It makes sense to me. I'm totally on board with that. I'm good. As opposed to a lot of other managers, they never really explain why they're doing what they're doing. We'll talk about Don Callis in a little bit.
Please don't.
I know he's someone who is probably taking money from his clients, but it's never really explicitly said what his goal is, where MVP, he's trying to make money. And so he's trying to put together big fights. And so he's trying to help his guys make money and him collect money. And so even if he just said, listen, Ricochet, you're going to make a lot of money. I want to make a lot of money. Let's make a lot of money together. I'd go, okay, I get it. And I could see Ricochet easily just going, you know what? I've been the fan favorite for a long time. I want to start making money. And now he's a sellout. We all hate him for it.
You love sellouts, though.
I know. They speak to me.
I see myself in you. Yes. That's how you turn face of Jack. Come and sell out.
Well, speaking of Don Callis and sellouts, Kyle Fletcher comes out. And he isn't here to talk to the booing fans. He's here to talk to Will Ospreay, who's laid up in a hospital bed. Kyle Fletcher says he was going to be the next big thing until Will Ospreay showed up, and then everyone started saying that he was going to be the next Will Ospreay. So he did what Will Ospreay has done again and again and betrayed his friend. Now he wants to end Will Ospreay and prove he's nothing like Will Ospreay, and so he shaves his own head. Flobo incorrectly is shaking his head, but Jimmy, I have said Kyle Fletcher's a star. I feel like this was a fantastic promo. I think he knocked it out of the park, and I feel validated in my opinion. Am I, though?
Partly. Because I, like you said, I think he was good. He was good in the promo. He was very good, especially the way he started it off. But he told a long story that didn't need to be that long. He took way too long with it to get to the punchline where he ended up shaving his head. That's my only thing. It's not what he says, what he said. It's how long it took him to say it. He could have condensed that into, let's say, for example, I'm just giving numbers out there. I didn't time it. I'm not like these people on the internet go, ooh, got to time this and see how long it is. let's say the promo was 5 minutes. It wasn't anything wrong with what he said in that 5 minutes, but you lose your audience in 5 minutes, unless you're The Rock. That's the only guy who can hold an audience for more than 5 minutes. So if he'd have condensed it down to two or three, but still got the same points in, and then get to the head shaving, I think it would have been perfect.
That's fair. I think it's fair. And Danny Brown says, was Jimmy right when he said Kyle should change his look? Carlos repeats, he shaved his damn head. Jimmy, was this the kind of look change you were looking for?
Something. This is definitely one. He's stealing my gimmick now. I don't know about that.
He is going to look more menacing, but there's a part of me that's like, you looked more unique with the hair before, Kyle. Like, there's a lot of guys with like short shaved heads in pro wrestling. So I don't know if I love the idea that he shaved his head. But we'll just have to see how it looks when it's done, because right now he just looks like a nutcase with hair sticking up.
He should leave it the way it was when he went to black.
You know what? If he did that, if he left it that way, just the sheer commitment would make me think he's right, dude. Oh good. Man. Living your daily life with that.
TSA would hate that, man.
Can you imagine, sir? Can you take your hat off? Do I have to?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, we shaved his head. I was like, okay, let's see where that hairline is. Maybe this is just trying to get to the, he's just trying to cut to the chase here. Because his hair was always brushed forward. Like maybe he was hiding something that is inevitable.
Only Logan Paul is hiding, I'm telling you, man. That guy.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking a quick trip to Turkey. Nothing wrong with it. Flobo, what were your thoughts on this promo?
Hated it. This could have been an email, man. This whole thing could have been done in a vignette because it could have been quicker. You could have had more time to see the finished look after it. And the idea of him be like, everyone's been wondering, Wild Kai, why? No, I haven't. You're a jerk. The end. I wasn't wondering at all. So I'm like, get on with it. So I think I understand. I'm a fan of the other wrestling where they kind of do a lot of vignettes, but that transformation needed it to not be live.
I disagree, because I think one, we need to hear him in front of a crowd.
Audience.
I was about to say to the audience.
Laugh track.
Yay! An applause sign. Right.
Please clap.
I think we want to hear it. To me, I felt like this was a test. I think they said, we're going to give you, I think they wanted him to go for a long time. And I think they wanted him in front of the live audience, because I think they wanted to see, how do you handle it? How can you do? And I think the fact that I thought he handled the crowd's reactions well. I think he ad-libbed things when he needed to ad-lib things. Do I think it was the most original response? No, I don't think it was a kind of like a you people term, but I think for someone who's at his age and kind of we're seeing how he acts in front of a crowd on a live mic, I think he knocked out of the park. I'd give him a microphone again.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm saying he can probably have it time next week to do that. I just feel it's kind of weird, because there's no way to do that and still look cool or menacing, because you're in the middle of doing it. So he had to stop, and it was like, oh. Now, I go back 15 years when the Street Edge Society did that to Serena Deeb. There was like CM Punk had to work at triple time to do that on the air, but it didn't hit. You could separate the two segments. I'm not saying he was great on the microphone, but that could have been a cool like vignette. Like, this is the new Kyle Fletcher.
I do think the shaving his head in the moment felt out of nowhere. I will say that it felt a little bit like, oh, why are you shaving your head? I felt like he did do the promo, and then he forgot to say something to allude to how he was going to change his hair. So it did feel like, it felt like one of those, and that's why you suck. Anyways.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Like what was alluded to by Beer Money. Maybe it wasn't Beer Money. Someone in the chat. Oh, Sunny Sitar. Sorry, Beer Money, almost gave you credit for something you didn't say. Sunny Sitar said, say it for hair versus hair match. When he first pulled out the clippers, I thought they were going to have a hair versus hair match. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what he was going to say, is I'm sick of people saying we look alike, so one of us is going to be bald after this.
Why aren't you in the meetings, Jack?
Listen, Tony Khan, I hear you watch the show. Shoot me a little DM on Twitter. Yeah. Shoot me a little email. Hop on Instagram, wherever you do your messaging, get on Slack.
You know what? It'd be funny if Tony Khan doesn't even do all that. He just sends goons to your house. Mr. Khan will see you now.
He opens up. But it depends what I'm getting into. If it's a limo, let's go, baby. If it's an unmarked van.
If it's a string of
goons, I can't stop them. I'm going.
Well, if it's a string of black SUVs, run, Jack.
Right. But we get to Brian Cage and Lance Archer. They have a tag team match and basically just squash the team they're against with a really awesome tag team finisher. Jimmy, I've talked about it before. I kind of wish Don Callis would just pretend this isn't his team anymore and let these guys be a tag team on their own. I love this tag team. I don't really feel like Don Callis needs to be associated.
I get that, but at the same time, I think they're trying to get them the rub because they've been, I don't want to say misused, but underutilized for a long, long time, both of them. So having them on TV, I'm glad they're getting an opportunity. I'm a Lance Archer guy. I really do like Lance Archer, and I wish he was given an opportunity a lot sooner. And as far as putting them as a team, that's a little different. I think Lance Archer's got singles written all over him, but you're right, Jack, that tag team finisher, that kind of power bomb choke slam combination, different. It's unique.
Yeah.
Coming up with something simple maybe not simple in the terms of, like a body slam, but it's not one of these, I got to get one in every week, twisting, burning 450 hammer Phoenix splashes.
Mm-hmm.
It looks devastating. Bottom line. Yeah.
I'm always impressed you nail that every time. You've never stumbled on the 450. I just did that. Like, you're just so good at that.
He's the Evan Bourne of getting that line. He nailed it perfectly.
That's how I get into bed every night.
You have a new sponsor already?
I think both these guys could be single stars. I don't think that's in the cards. If you had said 3 weeks ago that I think they were a great tag team, they look so different. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But seeing them this week, this looks great. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. Now, Mikey Ruckus, you need to make a combo entrance theme because I hate when tag teams don't have a combo entrance theme.
Wow.
Flobo, thoughts on Brian Cage and Lance Archer?
Oh, I love that. I love them together. In fact, my notes are kind of messed up. I didn't get the name of the tag team they beat. I have question marks here. But the match,
I didn't either.
The match itself was pretty solid. Pause this up first. Like them together. Like they're being used. I think the tag team division needs help because I feel like everyone's in factions and trios. That tag team is kind of like a secondary thing. So more bodies at the division is great. However, when it comes to Callis Rub, I think he's all rubbed out. I don't understand why a single manager. Yeah, you're right. We're an all-in-law family show. There goes our Emmy. I don't understand why a single manager gets to go on commentary every week and then it gets allowed. Like, isn't the EVPs or Tony Khan or Christopher Daniels upset about this? And I've never felt any worse about a talent in the family anymore. So that to me was kind of hurting the presentation. Had those two guys came out and just destroyed that team, I was like, who the hell are these guys? I think it would have hit a little bit harder.
Yeah, I do. I like the makeup of the team in the sense that right now the tag team division two seems kind of small, not just in numbers, but it's Young Bucks, it's Private Party, who we'll talk about a little bit, a lot of smaller guys. And so when you see these two big monsters in there that are just going to throw these smaller guys around, I think that's different. They're going to stand out. I think FTR may be the only one size wise that match up to them, and they outsize FTR by quite a bit. So I would love to see them. We got Mark Briscoe versus Chris Jericho in a ladder war Ring of Honor title match. Flobo, you're going to hurt your neck if you keep shaking your head.
That's a good one. Okay. Oh, I'm like, this match was quick and a bunch of jobbers. Here's a ladder match at 9 p.m. I'm like, yeah.
I was going to say, if you keep shaking your head and not sing the D-Lo song, that's just being
a spoken word though. Kick your sorry ass out in the street.
So what you gonna do about it? Bring it on! Is that what you got? This one's just a fun train wreck that culminates in Brian Keith trying to get involved but getting cut off by Rocky Romero, who had issues with Keith last week. Briscoe uses the momentum to jump off the top of the ladder, putting Jericho through a table. Then when Briscoe climbs the ladder, he's caught by Big Bill and chokeslammed over the top rope through a table to the floor. Big Bill then carries Jericho to the top of the ladder, helping the Ocho become the Nueve. Post-match, Ishii shows up looking for revenge against Jericho. Much like we said, I said in the beginning, Jimmy, I've got a bunch of pros and a bunch of cons on this one, but I'm going to let you just have free reign.
Well, this one was entertaining. That I will say. Jericho, on that one time where he went through the when he jumped off the ladder, when Briscoe jumped off the ladder and Jericho went through the, they both went through technically the table, but Jericho looked like he hit the back of his head on the ladder, and I went, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, I cringed on that one. But like I said, the match was fun. My only issue is, well, and I'll mention the finish too. That was a little bit different too, with Big Bill carrying, props to him from being able to carry him up the ladder like that. It was different. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't recall ever seeing that before.
I feel like someone's done it once, but I can't think of it.
They've done the shoulders, but never, none of the firemen's carry.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, other than that, it seems like the ROH title is being featured a lot on AEW television, and I'm not, you know, I get why. And with Chris Jericho having the title, I know a lot of people are saying, well, that's going to give the ROH title more prominence. I get that point, but at the same time, you have to push your own titles. And now the AEW championship, Moxley has it right now, and we haven't seen it since he won the championship. So what is going on with their main title?
Well, I do think that's part of the story.
No, I do. I get it. But at the same time, you're featuring the ROH championship. If you're going to feature it on your main show, I don't know. Maybe it would. I know fewer people watch Rampage, but at the same time, maybe that's a place where ROH could be featured more. Mm. And then you could have someone like an Athena more. You could have someone like that more on television.
Yeah, I got to say, Flobo, I thought this was fun. By the way, Mark Briscoe, I was clutching my pearls as he was on top of the ladder before he jumped, and it was like wobbly. I don't know about where. I don't know if you. I was like, "Oh my God, Mark, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall!"
Oh, my word, Mark.
Like, I was so worried for that man. It went okay though. At least, it looked okay. I don't know. I guess it went okay. I would.
Man's the bloody heat. You're like, okay, you're great, right? He's like, good job.
I will say, I think the hero of the match, though, clearly Big Bill. I love how they continue to make him just look like an absolute unstoppable monster. Looked great. He's the guy that really came out with a stock rise in this one. I like that they continued a little back Brian Keith, Rocky Romero, back burner sizzle for what they're doing. Jericho winning. I don't mind Jericho winning. I agree with Jimmy, though, in that I'm a little frustrated. It means we're probably going to see more of the Ring of Honor title on AEW Dynamite. And I'm just going to say it. I'm not that interested in the Ring of Honor championship on Dynamite. Wow. I'm interested in it on Ring of Honor. I'm not that interested in it on Ring of Honor or on Dynamite. Just like on the other guy's show, if they were defending the NXT title on SmackDown, I probably wouldn't be that interested. It's just not it. The other thing, and this was the thing that frustrated me the most, is they kind of threw Mark Briscoe under the bus at the end of the match with Ishii coming out. And it's kind of like, oh yeah, so forget that guy who we just said all these horrible personal things about his family to. Yep. He's done. And Ishii, and not to step all over everything, but again, everyone says I always say positive things. I know he's a legend. I can't take a guy who eats losses constantly seriously, and I don't believe anyone should be scared of him if he loses every big match he's in, Flobo.
You're talking about Ishii or talking about Jericho?
Ishii. So Jericho looking worried that Ishii's out there. He loses every match. I can't. Yeah. I can't see. Why are you scared of him? I know he's a legend, but in AEW, he's a very beatable person.
Absolutely. But this is ROH, technically speaking, right? This could be a chance to reheat him because he's on the roster. No, I get this, man. Hey, look around, Ric Flair. Jericho's coming for your titles. He's at 9. What a watch out, man. I love this. This is great. I had a little bit of a gripe a couple weeks ago. I said, okay, I understand why Mark Briscoe is the RA champion, but let's be real. It does feel like a consolation prize. And it kind of is a consolation prize still. But with Jericho, with the title being the title holder, he is somebody you want to see him get beat. Now, I'm not saying to put that in full gear. I'm not saying the main event, even they might do that. But if you have to get people to care about Ring of Honor at some level, because there's so many titles and they're all in these all C&D programming, you kind of need to borrow talent from the main roster to carry them over, like we see in NXT where main roster talent goes over. So I'm not too concerned. The match was fine. I think Ishii may be on a new run, but to me, I had no qualms with the segment.
Really? Can't read you, Flobo. You are.
It was fine.
You have poker face.
I love Brian Keith, man. Just, I love how he's just so like so adamantly respectful of Jericho. Just,
oh,
like...
Brian Keith is a treasure.
Respect that man.
We got a couple of promos. We'll kind of go through them both together. Mariah May and Anna Jay. Mariah May just casually throws Anna Jay's gear down the hallway and says that Anna Jay doesn't belong in the ring with Mariah May. Wow. Penelope Ford and Jamie Hayter also have words for each other. Flobo, thoughts on either of these?
I felt terrible because Penelope Ford was like, y'all forgot about me. And I was like, she looks so familiar. It didn't click to me to a minute in. I was like, oh, right. I was Penelope Ford because she really wasn't in the equation. And Jamie Hayter, to her credit, built her up and knocked her down. So it kind of in a weird way, Jamie Hayter looked like a superstar the way she handled that. So there's my notes for them.
I saw a great someone did like a when Jamie Hayter debuted versus today, and talk about someone who has figured out how to become a visual character and be someone who you can latch onto just by seeing them as soon as they walk out. Jimmy, thoughts on these? I was a huge fan of Penelope Ford when she was around before she. I don't know what happened, why she wasn't on TV for so long. I like Mariah May too. I love both of these.
No, the only problem I had with the Mariah May Anna Jay one was, she threw her luggage down the her gear down the hallway and said, not only are you not fit to be in my ring, you're not fit to be in our locker room, which just told everybody that all the girls dress together and they can't get along in a promo segment and stuff like that. So why not say, you know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm trying to say? If you're going to create that illusion that they do have heat, how come they could dress with each other 10 feet apart and not get into it? You know what I mean?
It makes two ramps even more silly, huh? I'm going down this ramp. You go down that ramp.
Yeah.
Here you go, sir. Please walk down this ramp. Oh, no. I'm a bad guy.
right this way. The Jack Farmer ramp is over here. Yes.
Or you could pull Larry David. No, sir. You go out this entrance. But I'm not the bad guy. I'm not a bad guy.
Sure you are, sir. Go ahead.
That's a really good point. It did kind of pull that, because I think as a kid, I thought they all had their own dressing room because they're stars, you know? And that's before you actually think about the logic of how wrestling works. You know, I always thought, oh yeah, they have their own dressing rooms and or their own trailers or whatever because they're stars. They don't get dressed in a regular big open space and take showers and stuff like there. So you're right. If I was a kid and I saw that, there would be a little bit of like, oh, you all just sit together before the match? That's weird.
Talk about crypto.
Adam Cole and MJF. Adam Cole starts his story time, but Adam rattles the arena, and the Kingdom come out, and they say that they've always been Adam Cole's friends. They all want to take out MJF, and Adam Cole agrees. So he says, come on out, MJF. We're going to beat you up now. MJF says on a video that the first to get 3 wins in a row gets a match with MJF. Kyle O'Reilly watches on. I'm a big Adam Cole fan, Jimmy. I think he's someone I would say that whenever I start to lose faith in Adam Cole, he has a match or he gets on a microphone and I'm like, okay, this guy's great. I love it. Wasn't super into this. I like that the group got together again because I feel like they're a great group. Why break them up? Adam Cole had a lot of success with the group. That's cool. I feel like that's kind of silly to think that MJF would come out there when all 4 of them were ready to beat him up in the first place. So it felt silly that they would even ask. Yeah. And the whole like first to win 3 in a row, I also feel like, are you guys idiots? What if he's lying? You just trust him to fall. Oh, well, I guess one of you won three in a row. I better fall through on my word. I don't know. The whole thing felt a little silly to me.
No, the thing that bothered me too is all of a sudden the kingdom are all baby faces just by de facto. I mean, we had a problem last week when Adam Cole came out and all of a sudden we knew he was going to get the pop, the return pop and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, all of a sudden he's de facto baby face because he's going against MJF heel. You know, you didn't even call me when I got hurt. So, like, I don't know, whatever the reason was.
Didn't call the devil when I got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What a meanie.
You could have called. It was toll free. You know what I mean? Or something like that. I don't know. This whole whoever wins three matches in a row thing, it's different. I could say that. Pretty much that's about it.
I mean, MJF even alluded to it. It's kind of a standard procedure. He makes people jump through hoops before they can get what they want. I think Flobo that this is going to end with both of them winning two in a row. And then the third one is they face each other. And that's going to be the whole thing. I thought as this was happening, because they even positioned themselves for it, that Adam Cole's going to say, okay, come out here, MJF. And they all stood behind him. And I was like, oh, he's getting jumped.
Right. Kind of funny, actually.
That's what I thought was about to happen. And then MJF was going to come out clapping like, you idiot. I told you, you're never going to get me. And that was going to be MJF's group or whatever going forward. But this just seems weird. And then Kyle O'Reilly, I don't really know where he stands in this. I'm confused about what's happening, but not in a good way. Flobo.
Yeah, there is some interesting things there. The idea that someone with a title could say, if you win three in a row, you qualify is weird. I get winning three matches, whoever's a three, because it's kind of a competition. Mm-hmm. But the three in a row, it can be indefinite. It can go on for like months, the way the parody. You know, we're still fighting two wins or whatever. So that was interesting. MJF, I knew, was going to be there. I think Kyle O'Reilly is going to put himself in both brackets to be one of the opponents for each one of the guys, because they both have a connection to him. But it felt weird him wearing a conglomeration shirt. Like, he's sad he's not in the kingdom. It was kind of weird for me. So not my favorite storyline, but the thing is, a lot of times MJF gets weak story and makes it work because he's such a character that we won't mind in 2 or 3 months afterwards.
I mean, that's fair, because that might be the way it all turns out here. But yeah, this was, I don't know. It just didn't. I like all the pieces. I want them to all be successful. I feel like they feel obligated to finish this. And now we're going through the motions here.
Just felt like where the dart landed.
Well, the dart landed on Buddy Matthews because House of Black have a match with a strong win post-match. Buddy Matthews challenges Adam Cole. Adam Cole confronts Buddy Matthews in the back, and Buddy says he's doing it because Adam Cole is fragile. Flobo, what do you make of House of Black, their return, their strong win, and Buddy Matthews going after Adam Cole, baby?
So I rolled my eyes hardcore when House of Black came on for two reasons. One, I'm over spooky gimmicks. I know it's Halloween. I'm tired of feeling dark forces and the evil within. Yeah, I get that. And hopefully Abaddon has their yearly match soon. But the second thing I thought was pretty cool was Buddy Matthews had this like thug edge. It wasn't like, I'm going to consume your soul after this. It's like, no, I want to make sure that you are fragile, which I may like. So if House of Black becomes, I don't know, a bit like Pete Gallus, where it's kind of like, no, we're just mean dudes that have a certain kind of edge to us, I'm okay with the new direction. And yes, this would be a great test for Adam Cole, because I worry if Adam Cole is fragile. So it all works for all of us.
Now, you have to sing Gallus's NXT UK theme song.
Man, that's our Wednesday morning gimmick. Remember that?
Come on.
Okay. Gallus, boys, don't talk.
So, Jimmy, this is one of those. I love House of Black. I think they just look cool. I think they have a presence. I'm a big fan of every member. It does feel a little bummer that I feel like Buddy Matthews is going to take a hard loss right after kind of making a comeback, though.
Yeah, I didn't like the reason. The reason I want this match is to show that you're fragile. Why do you want to show he's fragile? You know, you're in a trio now with House of Black. Why did you all of a sudden want to split from them and show the world that Adam Cole is fragile? Mm-hmm. I don't understand the reason behind it. Yeah. Other than we got to put somebody in there who looks like he's a big tough guy that Adam Cole's going to have trouble getting past. Oh, well, let's throw Buddy Matthews in there.
Yeah.
That's how it felt to me. We had to give him somebody. Couldn't think of anybody else. So, hey, this sounds like a good idea. And at the same time, we could put House of Black on TV and go, hey, look, they're still here.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So we'll see that one next week. Excited. Though I do like, before Leo, I do like the idea of Flobo's, it could go on indefinitely. It would be funny if, like, 9 months down the road, MJF is like, listen, guys, I didn't know. Like, and even like Roddy and Adam Cole, like, listen, man, I don't know. This is embarrassing. We're embarrassing ourselves right now. We can't get three in a row. And MJF's awful. Like, guys, I don't get paid if I don't wrestle. Like, one of you got to do this.
That is so fine. Tragic.
He's like, fine, I'll just wrestle you guys. Like, no, we agreed. Three in a row. Like,
right. We got to do it fair and square.
Can you imagine one of them does win three in a row and the other guy goes, no, you only won two. No, I won three. When did you win three? Oh, I won one on Rampage. That doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Barry Rampage. Collision. What the?
Camille got a win over Queen Aminata with Camille afterwards facing down Chris Statlander. Mercedes tries to jump Statlander, but Stat fights them both until eventually Camille gets the upper hand. Jimmy, this was the first segment of the night, which to me, and maybe you'll disagree, really felt like a 5 pounds of potatoes and a, wait, 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5 pound bag. Mm-hmm. It felt like they tried to do a little bit too much here, but to AEW's credit, this felt like the first time of the night, which is pretty late into the night considering.
Yeah, all things considered, I will agree with that. But at the same time, I think they have been doing Camille a disservice since her entry into AEW. She hasn't been presented as the heater that I feel she needs to be. Mm-hmm. She hasn't looked like dominating. You know, you make the comparisons to others. I think she should come off looking more like a China figure, mm-hmm. you know, as a bodyguard kind of thing for Mercedes Moné. She has backed off from people. She's Queen, you know, the match tonight, I think the Queen got I don't want to say she got too much offense in, but she lost last week to Mercedes Moné without any outside interference or help. She lost tonight to Camille without any outside interference or help. So how does that help her at all? You know, you can't get over without going over. I don't think that worked tonight or in last week.
Yeah, I'm a big Queen Aminata fan, so I'm glad she's getting on TV. I think it sucks that she just lost two in a row in a pretty high-profile situation, so it's going to be hard to come back from that in the eyes of the viewers. Mm-hmm. I agree about Camille. I think that she should look a lot more dominant, and because I feel like in this situation, she should be so dominant, we're all saying, shouldn't she be the champion? But right now, Mercedes still seems like she should be the champion. Yeah. What do you think?
I think that that's AEW's hedging their bets, right? You have Queen Aminata, who doesn't have the best win-loss record, but she's basically your Dolph Ziggler. She goes to all brands. She goes to all nights. She rests top of the card, end of the card. You want to keep them somewhere valuable, so you give them the offense. At the same time, you have someone like Camille, who is the brick house. She is a heater, but there really isn't anyone that she can take out that we will believe that can match up with her physically. Like the undersizing of the undercard of her women's division is very, very apparent. And once you get to like Chris Statlander's size, she's already in contention. So you can't hot shot that either. So it kind of put them against the wall. I think, listen to Jimmy's analysis. I agree. I think having a two count shouldn't have happened at all in this match. But hey, you know what? If that's the way they're going to go, then it comes out to what happens next. So I'm with you, Jimmy. I think it was kind of a sloppy thing, but I also feel AEW didn't have any options here tonight.
This is where having a deeper women's roster would help them a lot. And by deeper roster, I mean actually like featured more regularly on the show. Because they have the roster, but if they had more women featured, then they'd have a lot more flexibility in situations like this. Christian Cage, the patriarchy, rolls up right to the group of people who are about ready to fight Moxley, and he just tells them to brush off. He doesn't even care. Then he sees Kip Sabian, and he goes to talk to him, but Hook shows up, and Hook goes to attack Cage, but then Chris Sabian hits him in the yam bags. Now, with the advantage, the patriarchy beats up Hook and then says, this isn't what it seems. Flobo, Kip Sabian looks like he's joining the patriarchy. Hook, his dad, Taz, apparently attacked by the patriarchy, but there's more to it than what we may think. Do you think there, what do you think is more to it? Do you think that's just Christian Cage about to say, no, because I'm not as bad as I think you think, or is there actually something going on?
Okay, this is actually one of my favorite segments of the night. So let me get the nitpick out the way first. First time all show, I felt like I was watching a variety show because Hook shows up to work now. But anyway, but the actual segment makes sense to me. And
a lot
I like
people showed up late.
Yeah, I was like, does anyone have a job they have to go to? They're in Utah. What else is happening in Utah right now? Can someone?
The anyway, salt flats, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Stupid. You didn't know that? No. So the segment is great because the patriarchy is rolling. How do you make something interesting to have so much a dominant over other people? You have someone come from the inside. Kip Sabian is somebody who we've seen. He's an old character, new presentation, trying to ask more about this. This could be some sort of like inside out implosion. So I love everything about this. Of course, you have the sacrificial lamb, which was Hook. But yeah, everything Christian Cage is doing, that to me is perk up television.
At first, I was kind of against Kip Sabian joining because I feel like there's too many similarities to him and Nick Wayne. And in a group, I always say you want the diversity of, if you don't have Luchasaurus, then maybe a big guy should join. So you have muscle again or some, you know, you want the variety. So it's not just a bunch of the same type of wrestler. But I like how you say the implosion within, because I could totally see them doing a thing where eventually Kip Sabian becomes Christian's favorite and suddenly Nick Wayne is no longer happy about his spot. And that is a fascinating story. So I'm with you, Flobo. You've turned me around on this a little bit. But Jimmy, Hook wants to get some revenge for what happened to Taz. Personally, I would never fight someone who could take out Taz because he could beat up Taz. Nothing I'm gonna do. Mm-hmm. I'd maybe wag my finger at him and say that was bad.
Talk about it. Go say you're sorry, please.
There's more to it. This isn't what it seems, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
I'm with Lobo. He won me over as well, Jack. I like the way he broke that down. It just bothers me that whole Hook attitude. I'm not buying him as much as he defended that now defunct FTW championship for how long and came off looking like he's a real tough SOB. For some reason, I'm not, there's something about his presentation that doesn't let me buy it. I'm not buying into that. So when he's backing up, Christian, like a good heel, will back up to any babyface like he's supposed to. And it, for some reason, it's not connecting with me, the whole Hook thing. It's just me, you know. Everybody else might have a different opinion, but that's just me. And I like the idea of Kip Sabian now becoming the favorite, like you said, and the implosion from within. And then when Luchasaurus or Killswitch, he is Luchasaurus again, or is he still Killswitch?
And he's still Killswitch.
Well, whenever he returns,
we all call him Luchasaurus. Yes, of course.
Okay. Brian Danielson, take that.
You got it right.
I know. Nope. I meant to get it wrong, and I got it wrong when I was. I got it right when I want to be wrong.
Adonde says it might be the hair that does it.
It is pretty festive.
Not talking about hair.
Yeah, it's like his whole thing is. I don't know. It's a mind of its own. You know, like it's just. Very, very Kip. Very Kip.
Yeah, you hear Mariah Carey play when it
shows up. I don't want it. See, we're singing. Very musical episode today. Yeah.
It's a, but do you think, is it like the look? Is it the body language, Jimmy? I guess you don't really know what it could be.
It almost comes off like a young. I put this on Twitter, and I know people are going to say, stop it, Jimmy. But when he was walking through the back, I'm like, who's that fan that snuck into the backstage area?
Damn.
That's what felt to me. Yeah.
Well, for me, the problem with Hook is that Taz made him cool. And so Taz is not there. So there's no one to be like, there it is, that cold-hearted, handsome devil. Like, because Excalibur can't make that cool. So the guy from Brooklyn with his accent talking about his kid was the only one that was like, oh, what's he about? So Taz is not even there. he can't even do the injury angle because he's off TV completely. So now he's kind of like an angry kid, be like, my dad's hurt. You're like, boo.
Yeah. My father.
You know who my dad is.
Well, we got our main event, Daniel Garcia and Private Party versus the Elite. Let's hear it for the kids, Tony Schiavone says, as Daniel Garcia and Private Party get the win. So Isaiah Cassidy says he wants a rematch for the tag team titles, and if Private Party lose, Private Party will split up forever. Young Bucks accept, but Mark Quinn doesn't seem to be on the same page. Jimmy, writing's on the wall for Private Party, I think.
Yeah, it looked like that stipulation that was added didn't sit well with his partner. You saw that dissension there. What are you doing making that stipulation? We got to split up. We don't want to split up. No, we got this. You know, it's the proverbial, can they get along now with after mm-hmm. that? But my only issue with the match, again, it was typical three-way Young Bucks match with a lot of shenanigans going on. It would have been more impactful for Private Party not to win with a roll-up, in my opinion. Yeah. It should have been a more definitive finish win because they got hit with everything under the sun and they kicked out, you know, barely kicked out some false finishes that were really good. Hit them with something that actually means something as opposed to, you know, hit them with their finish.
Yeah.
You know, people are saying, well, now you're being nitpicky. They still got the win. Yeah, they still got the win, but, you know, make it an impactful win. Make it mean something.
Yeah, I felt like in this match, Daniel Garcia and Jack Perry almost didn't need to be there as well. I mean, I get why they were there, so it's not just another tag team matchup. Mm-hmm. But it felt like they were barely involved in this, actually, in this matchup. Flobo, I asked George Hermosa this last week, and now I'm going to ask you. Is it time to pull the plug on Private Party, or do you think that they've got more juice as a tag team?
Yes, only because 6 months ago, they weren't even a thought. Like, no one was asking, I wonder what a Private Party's doing. In fact, not to be cynical or mean, but it sounded like they were just de-thawed to make the Young Bucks look cool because they didn't really have an opponent in the division, which is why my note for the main event, because we're the most positive show on the internet, apparently, is that it should have been the Young Bucks. Yeah, okay, you beat us. Here's a title shot, but if we win, you guys are gone because they're evil. Why are they guys volunteering to break up their party? That made no sense to me. Like, you know what, Jack? If I don't get the talk in 10 seconds, I'm quitting. You're like, bye, Flobo, click. I mean, like, this is stupid.
Don't ask me to the party. I'll show up.
That's what I'm saying. But yes, it's writing from the wall. It's pretty much the end of the line for those guys.
Well, I will say I will counterpoint that, though. I think it was important that Isaiah Cassidy pitched it because Mark Quinn was against it. And also because Stokely Hathaway has been trying to work with them. And Isaiah Cassidy has been the one that's been kind of like, maybe we need to go down that route. I got a feeling Stokely Hathaway is going to be one of the reasons this team breaks up. And it's going to be Isaiah Cassidy throwing Mark Quinn through the barbershop window.
Okay. So if the Young Bucks did that challenge and Quinn just says, yeah, of course, obviously, would that be the same beat or no?
Well, I think because we want Isaiah Cassidy to be proactively kind of destroying this team.
I guess.
Is my thoughts here. That's my takeaway anyway.
I think you're right, but I think Private Party breaking up is a smaller problem compared to what the EVPs are doing that are considered evil or bad. Mm. They're evil because they say they are. They're bad because they say they are, but they haven't done anything really bad in weeks. And I think this would be a cool thing, but you're absolutely right for this particular exercise.
I got a feeling they're going to – oh, sorry, Jim.
No, I had a question for you guys. The stipulation that was added that Isaiah – it was Isaiah who made the challenge.
Yeah, right? Isaiah Cassidy, yeah.
Yeah. So wouldn't it make more sense for the heels to make a challenge like that, though?
Yeah.
And then for Isaiah to say, yeah, we accept, and your partner going, wait a minute. Are you sure you want
– Jimmy's right.
So again, I think what I was going to say is – I have a feeling also, on top of this, I have a feeling Young Bucks are going to turn soon. And I think that they're going to end up facing Moxley's group. I think that's what we're building to slowly. And so that's another reason why I think they are less doing the bad things. Yeah, you're right. Flobo had mentioned they haven't done anything necessarily bad in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're doing that intentionally. So when they make that turn, it's not like, what? You just, you know, did something horrible yet last week. I was trying to think, what did Anakin Skywalker say when he killed all the younglings or whatever they did?
Younglings.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong many times in my predictions of what's going to happen. I once thought Wrath was going to win World War III, but
I was like, wait, oh yeah. Wrath.
That is such a weird deep cut. Three people will get that.
What's funny, every time someone says Wrath, I think of Hack. I'm like, that's not Hack. I had to like double think. Like, oh yeah, yeah.
Brian Clark.
Adam Baum.
So LK says, Jack, no, the end of the show pointed out who is leading the charge against the Neo Mox group. No, I get that that's happening now with Orange Cassidy, but I think down the line, that's where they're going, is it'll eventually be the Elite joining Team AEW against against these guys. In any case, that's the show. We covered it.
Whoa.
So, I want to thank everyone who's been with us in the chat. Jose Topete, Leonard Jones, Danny Cochran, LK, Blue Chew, and everyone else. Flo Bo Boyce. Any final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
I'm not sure if it's for the better or for the worse, but today's episode of AEW had a different pace, a different feel, a different veneer when it comes to pacing and storylines. It was interesting. I want to see next week to see if it builds upon that. But you can follow me on that X at Flobo Boys or on the SmackDown After Show right here in Wrestling Inc. Emily May is not going to be here this Friday, which is great because she's a huge Dodger fan, and we'll be able to talk to her for the next week or a half or so. Let's go, Mets. Mm-hmm. Hey!
And Jimmy Corderas, any final thoughts? And oh, Flobo, did you say where the world can find you? Oh yeah,
on the X.
On the X, that's right. Jimmy, where can we find you?
Well, the show tonight for me was a mixed salad, which is okay. I like salads. So, yeah, I like salads. So, where you can find me? Obviously, you can find me here with you guys or on Wednesday nights. You can find me on the Reffing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner. And RJ, I got to throw him a shout out because he holds that glue together. Thank you, RJ, for everything. And this week we had Alicia Edwards from TNA. The Huge Pop Radio Show up here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeart Radio with my good buddy Donnie DeSilva. This week we spoke to the Motor City Machine Guns.
Hey,
had a fun little chat with those guys. And of course my Ref and Rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, where I make little critiques to tighten some screws that some people may not like and agree with, but hey, too bad.
Jack too hates bad. Salad. Jack hates salad.
Proudly hates salad.
What? He hates salad.
Salad. What are you going to do about it? Huh? Get all, you know, what? If you don't like it, salad, why don't you go ahead and leaf?
Oh, boo. Salad's like,
wait a minute. Can I throw my pen in the air?
Yeah, please. Exactly. Can I turn off the stream?
I'd worry you guys were going to throw tomatoes at me, but you put them in your gross salad.
Oh, leave salads alone. They're trying to live. That's a real private party.
You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Exactly. And I want to shout out Danny Cochran with a great question. It says, Jack, you got merch? I certainly do. You can find it at my website, jackcfarmer.com. I've got shirts there with some logos with my face on it. I even got a limited edition one that, listen, I printed up a few, and when they're gone forever. So you better head over there right now.
Thank you, Danny Cochran, for the new phrase. Now it'll be 20 pounds of potato salad in a 10-pound bowl.
Why would you have the bowl be 10 pounds? Like, would you make the bowl heavy?
This bowl's massive.
Why?
This is a 30-pound meal.
Here's your salad, sir.
Theoretically, you could stack the potato in the potato salad, though, if you're very careful.
Make this bowl heavier, please.
Droy J says salad wilts under Jack's insults.
Jack fears salad.
That does it for us, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your latest wrestling news. And make sure to tune in Friday for the After SmackDown show with Flobo Boyce and Glenn Rubenstein. Stein or Stein?
Stein.
I always forget. I've known him for years, by the way. It'll inside
apparently
baseball.
Apparently not.
Here. I always forget which one.
You know why? He's vegan. He eats salads. That's why you don't want to remember his name. No, I'm kidding.
He's vegan.
Yeah.
That's okay. Come to my house. I'll make him lamb.
That's the opposite of that.
Well, everyone, that does it for us. Make sure to avoid your salad. We'll see you next time.
Sounds great.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Jersey's got a lot of historic wows, from Victorian beach towns to Revolutionary War battlegrounds. Explore wow after wow at more than 463 historic landmarks. In museums, lighthouses, and over 58 state and national parks. It's one wow after another after another. You get it. Find your wow at visitnj.org/history. New Jersey, little state, lot of wow.